שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, Ches Ba'adar, Tavshin'ayin Hey, Parashas Tetzaveh, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 26 February 2015, webcasting from the unknown Middle East. Or what used to be called the Near East. I reckon the shift occurred as the United States surpassed England as a world power, as world power number one. For the Brits, this region is near. Versus the Far East, with the U.S. gazing eastward from the East Coast, seeing the region as the Middle East. In any case, it remains an unknown region to a tragic degree. Picking up from where we were last webcast, asking how it has happened that the great U.S. of A. has come up with leaders such as Barack Obama, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, National Security Advisor she is, and her experience in the defense of the U.S. is what? And how does it happen that under this reprehensible and shallow Secretary of State John Kerry, the deputy spokesperson for his State Department is Marie Harf, who early last week suggested that killing ISIS killers is not enough. We must get to the root of the problems, she said. What causes people to join ISIS, like unemployment? Instead of having a job or starting a business, they pick up guns, she said. This is an understanding of the Middle East, more accurately, Arab-Muslim culture, fit for an idealistic sophomore. Not in a university, but a high school, a 10th grader. Her lack of knowledge of the world, I find breathtaking. Does she really think that Ahmed and his friend Fathi, both unemployed, say to one another, well, with no jobs around here, why don't we go and murder people and chop off their heads? What yours truly knows of the region tells me that the chaos in Syria and Iraq and elsewhere is something, at the risk of being understood, people are getting too excited about. I mean, this internecine carnage, which more accurately should be called fratricidal carnage, is not chaos, but common Middle Eastern history. I imagine it's been like this for thousands of years. In the 12th century in southern Spain, a 13-year-old Jew, Moses, the son of Maimon, had to run from his native Cordoba for his life, for the Almuwahidun, a fundamentalist sect, was on the rampage, murdering lapsed Muslims and Jews. This future genius called Maimonides, the Rambam, fled to Fez in Morocco, and there, his genius already recognized, he penned in Hebrew, Igeret Shmad, it's called, meaning letter on apostasy, which concerned the halachic laws for Jews when faced by a homicidal goy who demands that he convert to the goy's Christian or Muslim religion, under what circumstances the Jew can dissemble, lie, go through with a conversion in order to save his life, but when out of danger continued to live as a Jew, and under what conditions he had no choice but to refuse the demand and give up his life for Hashem. But then things got so bad in Fez, as the Muwahidun in the area got stronger, again the Rambam had to flee for his life to Fustat. That's the original town that would evolve into Cairo on the other side of Africa. There the situation was different and afforded him time to answer a plea of help from the Jews in Yemen who were also being murdered by Muslim maniacs. That letter is called Igeret Teman, the Yemen letter. Also of interest is that the Jews in Yemen at the time were being tormented by the new head honcho, who just happened to be a Jew who converted to Islam, who then, like LTF or Martin Indyk, to prove the truth of his conversion, persecuted the Jews to exercise his sincerity. That was in the 12th century. Today, no more al-Muwahidun. Today, it's al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood, and ISIS, and Hamas, and Hezbollah, Ansar al-Waqdis, and Jabhat al-Nusra, and the regime in Tehran, Persia, and the regime in Qatar. The tribal warfare going on in Syria, the Houthi Shiites retaking power in Yemen for the first time since 1962, supported by Iran. And let's not forget Turkey, working with Qatar. If the peoples of Western Europe were not so sickly in spirit, they would immediately convene a NATO meeting in Brussels, I guess, and expel Turkey from NATO. As the Americans are paralyzed when it comes to toppling the Muslim Brotherhood agent in the White House, so NATO is mute and motionless in the face of what has happened to Turkey, led by that neo-sultan Erdogan and his sidekick Foreign Minister Davutoğlu, who have imprisoned hundreds of army officers, the traditional guardians of non-religious governments there, and scores of journalists critical of the dictatorship. These brutes are backers of ISIS, because ISIS is Sunni, and the Sunnis are taking on Assad, the apostate, or rather non-religious infidel of the Alawites. But I digress. I hit upon Mary Harf because of today's Washington Post scoop that Jihadi John, the head shopper in ISIS, speaking perfect British English, is a native of Kuwait who grew up in London, went to university, graduated with a degree in computer programming. One can only wonder how Ms. Harf computes this information. Once again, it's hardly the first time a Muslim maniac is exposed as no downtrodden member of the exploited proletariat, striking out an injustice for his misery, but yet another well-to-do, comfortable, middle-class, educated fellow. Like Mohammed Atta of 9/11 infamy, the boss whose successful dad had enough cash to pack him off to Germany for his university education. Economic deprivation and political oppression, Marie Harf has yet to understand, has nothing to do with this kind of behavior. Its roots are in the culture of Arabi and its principal religion that was partially successful at suppressing the pagan idolatry of the Arabs 2,000 years after Mount Sinai, where 12 Jewish tribes were turned into a nation of laws. Islam arose 6 centuries after the rise of Christianity, which also wrestled with paganism. Islam managed to outlaw paganism, a.k.a. idol worship and nature worship of magical stones and trees and mountains. Islam introduced the twin ideas of one God, not many, and the inability of man to imagine what God looks like, therefore the prohibition against idols and images. The great 19th century German rabbi, Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, that's Samson Raphael Hirsch, said the sons of Ishmael were capable of conceiving of one God and rejecting idols and images because they are the sons of Aham. But when it comes to Menschlichkeit, Yiddish, for being a good human being, being well-behaved, restrained, moderate, because Ishmael was the son as well of Hagar the Hamite, and not Sarah the Semite, Avraham's relative, Ishmael came out a wild ass of a man, incapable of civilized behavior. And I say this is Islam. It reflects Avraham's legacy of an iconoclastic monotheism, but it failed to overcome and defeat the power of Ishmael's nature as one of the line of Ham, whom the sages told us was a rebel against authority and sexual propriety, and thus are ISIS boys capturing and raping little girls, and boys, no doubt, as well. That, too, is a major part of their culture. So on the one hand, the world might be a bit overly excited, I think, by what's going on around here these days, because they don't know how normal it is. On the other hand, even though human nature is today the same as it ever was, since history does not repeat itself 100% in its details, the contemporary new twist on Arab behavior, which Islam not only did not suppress, Ishmael's Arab nature defeated Islam and uses it for its own purposes. Islam installed monotheism, but it also now justifies pre-Islamic Arab barbarism. Everything we hate about these bloodthirsty Muslim lunatics was preceded in history, not by their religion, but their Arab character, which Islam justifies. The new twist is that in the modern world, transportation, jet flying, and the internet allow these barbarians to strike out from the Middle East as never before. For centuries, Spanish or the Portuguese blockaded the Straits of Gibraltar. It's only 12 miles across from Iberia to Morocco, with a string of warships permanently on station to prevent the Muslim cruisers from getting out into the open ocean. This did not end or solve the problem of their piratical predations, but did confine them to the inland sea. Today, though, they're all over the place, and civilization must find a way to reverse its own decay and reverse this tide of barbarism sweeping over the planet. Maybe you saw the video today of the destruction of artifacts in that museum in Mosul in Iraq. Statues, relics of the past, smashed with sledgehammers by devout Muslims. This is reminiscent of the destruction of the statues of the Buddha in Afghanistan a few years ago or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, the West, the civilized West, must rally itself, pick itself up off the floor of its degenerate decadence, and fight back. First, though, it must stand up to the life of lies being lived by Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim secret agent. The link posted this evening on this webcast is to the lead article on the AmericanThinker.com website yesterday by yours truly. It's called The President's First Insult, in which I lay out, as I have for you, how he slapped the Jewish people in the face within minutes of taking the oath of office in his inaugural address. I mentioned that and how at Cairo a few months later he offered more nonsense about a hallucinatory Muslim past in America to justify, of course, Islam's right to claim America. It's something it produced too, just like the Christians and the Jews. I did not put in, I could have, but I wanted to save space, that also in that Cairo speech he said there were almost 7 million Muslims in America, which many demographers at the time doubted big time. Some said maybe 2 million 6 years ago. Interesting how, though, this 6 million-plus figure trumps the common myth of there being 5 million Jews in America. In this regard, too, as the article lays out, he sees the Muslim community surpassing the Jewish community. For the West to rally, it must first address, therefore, the problem of this bad actor in the Oval Office, who was accused today on the Gatestone site by the excellent Khaled Abu Tomed of siding with the supporters of terrorism. And by that he had in mind his meeting this week in the White House with the despot prince of Qatar, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani. Abu Tomeh wrote up the fury in Egypt at this meeting because everybody in Araby knows Qatar is a major backer of Hamas that has been behind the murder attacks against Egyptian security personnel. Hamas is recognized by the U.S. government as a terror outfit, and here was one of its mainstays, smiling and chatting with Barack Hussein. Qatar is also home to Al Jazeera, which remains in Arabic, if not English, the same ugly jihadi station it was when bin Laden used it all the time to release his series of selfie videos. Al Jazeera was basically his mouthpiece. Today, it broadcasts in English as well, and while definitely still a pro-Arab and anti-Israel station, it is in English, which I look at from time to time, much more moderate, and it calls to mind really Fatah behavior over the decades of its murder and mayhem. Say one thing in English, or French, or German, or Italian, and in Arabic say something vastly more inflammatory. And there they were on Tuesday, these two, Barack Hussein and Al Thani, sitting there facing the media in the White House, Obama smiling, Al Thani smiling, at ease with one another. The smile on Obama's face was one never displayed when sitting next to the Prime Minister of the State of Al Yahud. When, oh, when are Americans going to take the next step beyond Rudy Giuliani's truth that Obama is no patriot, that Obama does not love America, and say instead outright, this guy's a traitor? He has for sure in domestic policy proven himself to be a hater of America's political traditions and behavior. When traditionally Republicans and Democrats had to work together, find compromises. By contrast, he doesn't work with anybody. He trashes the law. He writes new law. He ignores, even encourages the flood into the country of aliens. And I've heard Muslims are coming in with lots of green cards legally and tourist visas, whatever. Abu Tomeh reported that on Monday, the evening before this meeting, Egyptian media reported Qatar was supplying the ISIS head choppers in Libya of those Egyptian Christians. Egypt's President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi considers Qatar to be one of the main financial backers of these Muslim terror groups. The Egyptians believe that without Qatar, Hamas would surely lose control in Gaza, and the jihadis in Sinai also will lose support, those who are attacking and killing scores of Egyptian police and soldiers. Next week, al-Sisi is scheduled to fly to Saudi Arabia to seek help from the new king there in pressuring Qatar to back off. Abu Tomeh reported that since Hamas honcho Khalid Mashal fled Damascus because he was supporting the Sunnis trying to overthrow his host for many years, Assad Jr., he has been living in Qatar. The Egyptian media is also full of articles and political cartoons attacking Obama and his relationship with Qatar. And there's an issue which is apart from that, which is Obama's playing footsie with Iran, whom all the Arabs are afraid of. And let's not forget Obama's partner in backing the Muslim Brotherhood that not only deposed Mubarak at the time, but the Muslim Brotherhood in bringing down Gaddafi, Hillary Clinton. Again, I cry out to the heavens, how has it come about that the greatest world power in history is in the hands of these at best incompetents like Hillary and Marie Harf and villains like Obama?
ים של שקרים התפזרו לכל כיוון או שזה שקר אחד גדול שהתפוצץ חיוכים מתוך סיוטים של אנשים נערמו עם שברי הזכוכיות וגם מילים שדוברו גבוהה גבוהה מילים של פנסים של הרים ושל זחלו על הרצפה או שזה נחש גדול בודד שהתרוצץ כאבים מתוך שלווה של אנשים נערמו עם שברי הזכוכיות וגם מילים שכוונו גבוהה גבוהה מילים ללא כיסוי לא נשמעות Simply flow של סודות התפזרו לכל כיוון תסתיר את הפנים שלך ותתכווץ אותיות מתוך שמות של אנשים נזרקו אל תוך החלל הריק הזה ודמיונות שכוונו גבוהה גבוהה דמיונות של איזה מחזאי הוזה ככה זה בחיים, כנראה שככה זה
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, here in the Holy Land today, the top story was the controller's report blasting the government for not doing enough to solve the housing crisis. It's a situation I pass no judgment on, for it's not my field of knowledge. How this may or may not affect the election 2.5 weeks from now is also anyone's guess. It could be important, then again, maybe not. What I am more confident in pronouncing on is the general weakness of Israeli society, particularly in the non-religious sector, that is basically bereft of Jewish values. It's nothing but a Hebrew-speaking imitation of Western decadence. For example, the Idiot hard copy this morning ran a piece on the difficulty some mothers are experiencing in finding a suitable costume for their daughter on the upcoming Purim holiday next week. Some are complaining that the store-bought options overwhelmingly are sexually provocative and as such out of place for little girls. This is also the situation, as I understand it, in the States come Halloween. A few years back, I was in the States and spent Shabbos with friends in Rockland County, north of New York, and when it was over, I boarded a train to return to the city, which happened to be Halloween night. So what started out as a fairly empty railroad car, quiet, from stop to top, it filled up with young people heading into Manhattan to party. College-age types, late teens, early 20s, dressed appropriately for the night, swigging cans of beer already, loud and joking and horsing around. And what I found shocking was that there, among the girls, there was not one cowgirl, not one fairy princess, not one witch. All of them were dressed like hookers, streetwalkers, shamelessly exposed. I understand the problem exists in the States as well, of mothers shopping for their girls for Halloween and finding nothing but porno. And then this week, there were the Oscars from Hollywood, whose master of ceremonies this year is yet another proudly public sodomite who, I heard, spoke of his husband and appeared at a certain point on stage in his underpants. Heaven help us. This is not progress. This is not social progress. This is social regression. As I reported on Sunday about the head here, one of the two heads of what used to be the serious Labor Party movement, Tzipora Bas Eitan, likewise dancing in a club with such people. No good. Heaven help us. If she and her partner Bougie ever come to power and attempt to impose this latest mutation of Western culture and trouble on the whole country.
Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Elbe Kodesho, Hallelujah, Birkia Uzo. Hallelujah, Bigvorota. Hallelujah, Kerov Gudlo. Hallelujah, Betekar Shofar. Hallelujah, Benevel Vechinor. Hallelujah, Betof Umachol. Hallelujah, Beminim Veugar. Hallelujah, betzilzelei shama. Hallelujah, betzilzelei truah. Kol anshama tehalelka. Oy, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, kelbe kodesho. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, big vuota. Hallelujah, kerov gudlo. Hallelujah, betekar shofar. Hallelujah, benevel vechinor. Hallelujah, betof umachol. Hallelujah, beminim veugav. Hallelujah, betzilzelei shama. Hallelujah, betzilzelei truah. Oh, קדשו הללו ברכיה וזו הללו
And that was Psalm 150. Okay, a reminder, the link for this webcast contains the link to this piece I had on American Thinker yesterday, which so far is, I don't know, 300-400 responses, worth a check. God willing, I'll be back after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, from the Holy Land.